13. The Great Potato Burglary.
Ah!
Raged Hiccup, shaking the bars of his cage. Typical. 5 minutes ago, I was just locked in a cage in a room full of hysteric warriors. Now, you've swallowed the key and set fire to the room. Flap up and wake up Kamikaze and then put out that fire.
Say, pretty please,
choked Toothless defiantly.
Pretty please,
howled Hiccup in the loudest whisper he could whisper. Toothless flew unsteadily up to the beam where Kamikaze was sleeping and woke her up by shrieking softly,
"No key! No key!"
in her ear before flying back to deal with the fire. Kamikaze took charge of the situation from the moment she opened her eyes. She got up, calmly balancing on the beam for all the world as if she were safely down on the ground rather than almost 20 metres up in the air. She unwound another rope from around her waist and threw the metal end of it so that it wrapped around the beam from which Hiccup's cage was suspended. She pulled to check it was secure and then swung out, clinging to the rope, and landed on the top of Hiccup's cage. Kamikaze wriggled down the outside of the cage and looked hard at the lock on the door. She felt in her pocket and brought out a long pin-like instrument and stuck it in the lock, wiggling it expertly from side to side.
"That was so brave of you," she whispered. "For a boy, of course, leaping down into the soup like that. We'd never have found out where they kept the potato if you hadn't done that."
Hiccup considered telling her it had all been a total accident, and then thought better of it. "Oh, you know," he whispered modestly back, "it was nothing. I do that kind of leaping all the time."
What are you doing?" "Picking the lock," replied Kamikaze, airily. "Locks are nothing to us bog burglars. No prisons can hold us. We're as wriggly as eels. We're as jumpy as crickets."
The lock suddenly clicked loudly, and the door of Hiccup's cage swung open.
"Your exit, my lord,"
grinned Kamikaze. Hiccup scrambled out of the cage and dropped down onto the banqueting table below, unable to believe his luck.
"And now," frowned Kamikaze, "for the vegetable that no one dares name. We haven't got a lot of time."
Indeed they hadn't. Toothless had tried to snuff out the fire on the polar bear rug by smothering it with his wings, and when that didn't work, he threw homemade nettle champagne on it. The flames sprang up a metre high, and the fire spread to a nearby chair.
"Oh, dear," wailed Toothless. "Toothless messed up. Oh, Toothless's fault. No, dear, oh, dear."
"Toothless," Hiccup ordered, "stop making that fire worse and come over here. We're going to need your help to steal the potato." Toothless flapped over, his guilt making him unexpectedly obedient. "I want you to melt the ice in the casket," said Hiccup.
But the squealers," whimpered Toothless.
Hiccup wound his scarf around the little dragon's ears to act as earplugs. "Wait until Toothless has finished melting the ice, just in case you do set off the squealers," he explained to Kamikaze. "The sound could stun a dragon as titchy as Toothless if he's too close."
Titchy, huffed Toothless. "Toothless not like the word titchy."
"You're looking at the burglary expert," said Kamikaze. "There's no way I'm going to set off those squealers." By some miracle, all the hysterics were so dead to the world that not even all this noise and commotion and a large fire blazing in the middle of their great hall had woken them up. They snored on, oblivious. Trembling with terror, and flying rather erratically because he was weighed down by his fur coat, his large meal and the scarf around his head that was slipping over his eyes, Toothless flew over the waving nails of the squealers. This was very brave of him, for if he looked down he could see their horrible black blobby bodies with the piranha teeth, and to a dragon as small as Toothless, it was like wandering casually in front of a pack of lions with open jaws. Hovering above the casket, he was so scared that for a moment his fire hole seized up, and he couldn't breathe out a single flame, only clouds and clouds of bluey-grey smoke. "Relax," whispered Hiccup from the table. "Breathe deeply. No pressure. You've all the time in the world." Hiccup was trying to sound as calm as he could, even though half the room was on fire. "All the time in the world," sang Hiccup nervously. "Just relax. Go to your happy place." The nails of the squealers began to twitch as they sensed the smoke.
"Ha!"
puffed Toothless, furiously, practically disappearing. He was making so much steam.
"Toothless is a happy place. Happy place, not here."
And to Hiccup's intense relief, Toothless's final indignant snort ended in a big breath of fire that engulfed the entire casket. "Don't set fire to the potato," Hiccup reminded him.
"Set fire to this, don't set fire to that," complained Toothless. "Mr. Hiccup, just stop being such a bossy boots and give a dragon a chance." but he made his flame smaller, and he directed it steadily at the ice around the potato, and slowly, surely, the ice began to melt. Meanwhile, Kamikaze climbed back up to the ceiling again and wriggled along the beams until she was directly above Norbert's papa. She let herself down on another rope so that she was hanging, like a little spider, about a metre above the casket, and then she wound the rope around her ankle and flipped upside down. She waited until Toothless had finished melting the ice and had flapped off back to the safe distance of Hiccup's shoulder. Right in front of Norbert's papa's frozen, staring eyes, Kamikaze reached into the casket and carefully, delicately, removed the potato with the arrow stuck in it from the bed of ice. Hiccup held his breath. If the casket was booby-trapped, this would be the moment that something might happen. But there did not seem to be any booby-traps. Kamikaze swung there, potato in one hand. Norbert's papa wobbled for a second on his stand, but he was still grinning ferociously, his eyes staring straight ahead at nothing. He was dead, after all. The snores of the sleeping hysterics rumbled peacefully through the quiet hall. Kamikaze put the potato in her pocket. "She's done it. She's done it. She's done it," whispered Hiccup to himself. Kamikaze was about to turn herself the right way up again and climb the rope, but then she spotted something else in the casket. "Uh-oh," whispered Hiccup. Kamikaze couldn't resist. She reached in and picked the something else out of the casket. For one second, it seemed like it still might be all right again. But it turned out that the frozen body of Norbert's papa was very carefully balanced, and when this second weight was removed from the casket, it began to tip, slowly backwards, and then gathering speed, until the entire body crashed like a great tree trunk into the waving forest of squealers down below. "Aye!" screeched the squealers. The noise they made was simply ear-splitting. The glass of the frozen casket shattered into pieces and the ice inside fell to the floor. All over the room, the hysterics sat bolt upright as if electrified, bleerily opening their eyes and saying, "What's that? What's going on?" to each other. Even with the scarf and Hiccup's hands over his ears, poor old Toothless nearly fainted from the loudness of the noise. "Watch out, Kamikaze!" yelled Hiccup. Norbert the Nutjob woke up and threw his double-headed axe straight at Kamikaze dangling from her rope. Kamikaze saw the axe coming and let herself drop. The axe missed and Kamikaze landed on the floor, or, more precisely, on the gigantic wobbly stomach of a hysteric who was so dead to the world he didn't even wake up. Norbert the Nutjob ran to drag his frozen father out of the mass of shrieking squealers. Stiff and ice-cold as he was, they still tried to eat him, blunting their teeth on his hard, frozen legs, slashing their horrible long nails on his solid, frozen moustaches. Once he had pulled his papa to safety, the squealers stopped screaming as abruptly as they had begun. Norbert the Nutjob drew his sword and strode towards Kamikaze with a murderous expression on his face. "Get out of here!" screamed Kamikaze. "I'll be all right, don't worry about me!" Hiccup was standing right in the middle of the table. About 20 large warriors were already advancing towards him, swords, axes and daggers drawn. The odds were not on Hiccup's side, and Hiccup was completely and entirely unarmed. He had no bow and arrow, no dagger. He did not even have his sword, for Norbert the Nutjob had taken it from him earlier, if you remember, which was a shame, because Hiccup was good at sword fighting. So, in the absence of his sword, Hiccup picked up two large, sloppy, creamy pumpkin pies and crashed them like cymbals on either side of another warrior's face. The hysteric fell backwards, a sticky, dripping pumpkin mess, and promptly sat down on the smaller warrior behind him. Meanwhile, dodging hysteric sword thrusts, Hiccup grabbed the nearest thing to hand, which happened to be a gigantic, half-eaten turkey carcass, and shoved it over the head of the closest warrior. The hysteric's arms were pinned by his sides. Muffled shouting noises came from within the turkey, and he staggered off like a grotesquely large dead chicken with human legs. Hiccup was getting into the swing of things. He tipped an entire bowl of maple syrup on the floor, sending the hysteric slipping and sliding all over the place. He winded another warrior with a watermelon. He pelted them all with onions. Now the squealers had stopped squealing. Toothless flew down from the roof to join in the battle. He found a bowl of chestnuts, sucked up a whole mouthful so that his cheeks were bulging like a hamster, and zoomed over the heads of the warriors, spitting out fire and red-hot roasted chestnuts like a barrage of flaming bullets. Chaos reigned in the great hall. Vegetables flew in all directions. Hysterics, who had been woken by a fat, overripe tomato splattered in their faces, assumed that this was all just a merry midnight food fight and enthusiastically attacked their fellow hysterics. "Hurry up, Kamikaze!" screamed Hiccup, slapping another opponent around the cheek with a large flat flounder and running up to the other end of the table. Kamikaze had problems of her own. She was defending herself against Norbert the Nutjob, who was livid with rage and lashing out at her with his sword. Norbert the Nutjob had had a trying couple of days. His bottom was still throbbing from the arrow wound. Hiccup had made a fool out of him in the ordeal by axe. Somebody appeared to have bitten off his beloved moustaches, and the hooligans were even now stealing his papa's American vegetable. And they hadn't even had the decency to send some proper adult assassins. This third assassin was even smaller than the first two. To add insult to injury, he, Norbert the Nutjob, noble chief of the hysteric tribe and master swordsman, was finding it difficult to defeat this tiny little blonde assassin in one-to-one combat. She just wouldn't stay still. She met every lunge he made, carelessly singing the Bog Burglar National Anthem as she did so. She performed cartwheels between moves. She even picked up a piece of wild boar sandwich off the floor and started to eat it while still fighting. She talked constantly. "I hope you don't mind me eating on the job," she said chattily, easily deflecting his Grimbeard's grapple sword thrust and throwing in a piercing point of her own. "I know it's rather rude to fight with my mouth full, but I'm absolutely starving. Haven't eaten a thing all evening." Norbert the Nutjob gave a grim smile and sprang forward with a particularly violent sword thrust. She dodged it, leapt up, swung onto his beard while she wiped her sticky fingers on his shirt front and sprang back down again.
"I'm going to kill you," panted Norbert the Nutjob, his eyes watering with the pain of having his beard pulled. "First with my sword, and then with my axe, and then I'm going to feed you to the squealers."
"You clever, clever boy," sang Kamikaze,
delightedly spotting her rope dangling just behind his head. "But you'll have to catch me first, you know." And with that, she somersaulted right between his legs, came up the other side and squirmed up her rope with astonishing speed, pulling the end of it up behind her. Norbert the Nutjob looked down at his legs for a dazed moment and then threw them, and then he swung round to find that Kamikaze had apparently vanished into thin air. He whirled around again. She wasn't there either. How completely extraordinary. Kamikaze, swinging centimetres above Norbert the Nutjob's head, removed his crown so gently, so softly with her pickpocketing, burglaring fingers, that he never felt a thing. She then bashed him on the head as hard as she could with the frozen potato. Norbert staggered a bit, swayed this way and that, and then fell to the floor, unconscious. As he lay prone, Kamikaze dropped back down to the ground again and patted him reassuringly on the shoulders. "Practice, Norbert, that's what you need," she said condescendingly. "You're never too old to learn."
"Kamikaze!" shrieked Hiccup from the banqueting table, knocking out a hysteric with a leg of roasted buffalo, shoving a carrot up the nose of another, and spraying three more with homemade nettle champagne. "Get over here!"
Kamikaze swung across and landed on the table beside him. Most of the table was now in flames, and the fire had spread to all the polar bear rugs. Most ominous of all, the squealers were actually moving to get out of the hall. Squealers are so lazy that they only move when they are in mortal danger. They wriggled towards the door like disgusting, fat, bloated slugs, their nails waving frantically, leaving a trail of snotty slime. The rope that snaked up to the chimney in the ceiling, the other end of which was attached to One Eye's great leg, dangled between Kamikaze and Hiccup. They both grabbed hold of it, coughing from the smoke, and tugged three times. Just the second before One Eye dragged them up and out of danger, Hiccup leant down and picked up a metal food tray from the table. And then they were up and away, the hysteric swords just brushing their heels as they rose swiftly to the ceiling and out through the hole in the roof.